Hi guys, you are listening to Apricity. I feel like a robot right now. I haven't had my matcha yet. Apricity means the warmth of the sun in the winter. My hope is that this podcast feels like a cup of hot tea on a cold winter day. On Apricity, we talk about all things mind, body, spirit, becoming the most authentic, shiny, happy, whole version of ourselves. My name is Sion Camille. I am your host. Today is March 12th, Tuesday. I'm sitting in the studio in Silver Lake recording, but I love coming here because it's in a really cool part of Silver Lake. There's tons of amazing coffee shops and vintage stores and restaurants around here. And this morning I went to this very cute coffee shop. It's called Canyon Coffee. If you've ever been there, it is like the most trendy coffee shop in LA. Everyone there looks like they are fresh out of a runway. I got the pistachio matcha on draft. It's pretty good. I should have gotten it with sweetener because I cannot handle caffeinated drinks that are not a little bit sweet. I've tried to, but honestly, guys, life is so short. I am going to have my drink taste good. That is it, if you can hear it. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about self-forgiveness. And before I get into why I chose this topic, why we're going to talk about self-forgiveness today, I wanted to tell this story that sort of inspired today's episode. I had a dream last night, and there were wolves. I was journaling about the wolves this morning before I was going to come into the studio, and I remembered this story that I had been told a while ago. It's a famous story of a Cherokee elder sitting with his grandson around a campfire, and the elder says to the grandson, "In every individual, there are two wolves. One of these wolves represents darkness with qualities like fear and anger and greed. And the other wolf represents qualities like love, compassion, and peace." And when the grandson asks which wolf wins the battle, the elder responds, "The one you feed." And this story is supposed to remind us that the choices we make and the values we nourish within ourselves are the ones that expand and the ones that grow. We all have two wolves inside of us, and it's so easy to get stuck in a loop of feeding the deficient part of ourselves, the one that is filled with limiting beliefs. But the wolf you feed is the one that grows. This is something I've been working through. How can I forgive myself for the things I've done wrong and move forward? How can I truly forgive myself if I engage in compulsive behavior? How do I stop hating myself? How do I stop hating myself for talking to those people who are low vibrational, for not doing the thing that I told myself I was going to do? So I got in one of those spirals of kind of what I just described. And when I reached the end of the spiral, I was like moving towards anger and punishment with myself for things that don't align with my highest self is only perpetuating the loop. Hating those parts of myself do not make them go away. In fact, I'm more likely to engage in low vibrational actions if I'm punishing myself constantly and I'm hating myself constantly. I'm probably reaching for that thing outside of myself because I don't have that self-trust, because I don't have that self-compassion when I do mess up. And you think about a child interacting with a parent. If a parent constantly yells at the child, that child is not going to feel safe with them. They are not going to want to be around them. They're not going to like them. And the same goes for us with our own inner critics, with that voice inside of us that is hard on us when we mess up. That is your inner parent being hard on the child within you. So today's episode is going to be all about self-forgiveness. How do we actually forgive ourselves? How we can break the cycle of being stuck in guilt and shame, and actionable steps to practice forgiveness with yourself. I think self-forgiveness is the first step towards growth. It is the first step towards bettering your life, no matter what you're trying to do, because we cannot have meaningful relationships with other people until we have a good relationship with ourselves. Having a good relationship with yourself begins with loving the parts of yourself that you have spent your entire life trying to wish away. Loving those parts of ourselves is not condoning the actions that we've done that we're not proud of. It's not saying we're going to engage in those actions again, engage in those ways of thinking or being that are harmful towards ourselves. But instead, it's saying, hey, you did the best you could with what you had at the time, which is true for all of us. All of us are doing the best we can. And when you stop punishing yourself over and over again for all the things you've done wrong, and you say, okay, these are stepping stones to bring me closer with my highest self. These are things that I understand I cannot engage in, I cannot do, because it is not a representation of who I wish to become. It's not a representation of who I really am. And that's why it feels so wrong when I engage in these actions. Okay, so let's start with part one, understanding guilt and shame and its impact on self-forgiveness. We experience guilt when we feel like we have violated our own moral code, when we've done something that is wrong, whether it's something that's been taught to us, this is wrong, or it's something that we inherently just feel in our being, this is not the right thing, I shouldn't be doing this. The second we experience guilt, it serves as a signal that we have acted in a way that is inconsistent with our own beliefs or our values. And we experience guilt for a reason. It makes us reflect on what we've done. If we didn't experience guilt, we would all probably just continue making mistakes that are harmful towards others or ourselves over and over and over again. Experiencing guilt helps us move towards taking responsibility for our actions. Okay, so that's guilt. Now, let's look into shame. Shame, on the other hand, is more deeply rooted in feelings of unworthiness or inadequacy in some way. So guilt focuses on our actions, whereas shame is centered around our sense of self. Shame is the root of all limiting beliefs. It arises from internalizing negative beliefs about ourselves, such as feeling unlovable or undeserving of forgiveness. When we're constantly engaging with guilt and shame, we are perpetuating negative self-perceptions and inhibiting our ability to connect with others, to connect with ourselves. When we are consumed by feelings of guilt, we might feel that we're undeserving of redemption. When we are consumed by shame, we find it difficult to extend compassion and understanding to ourselves. We put ourselves on a pedestal that is unrealistic because we do not hold any other people to the same standards. Breaking free from this cycle is essential for cultivating self-forgiveness and moving in a positive direction. You cannot grow until you accept the things you've done and you accept who you have been, where you have gone. Again, you're not saying it's okay, but when you say, okay, you did the best you could at the time, and that was a lesson for us to move forward. This is a poem called Please Call Me By My True Names by Thich Nhat Hanh. And this poem helped me realize that there is a dual nature that lives inside of all of us. And by accepting this dual nature, we can learn to see that we are not inherently bad. We are just human. We all experience deficient feelings of shame and guilt. So the poem goes, "Don't say that I will depart tomorrow. Even today, I am still arriving. Look deeply. Every second I am arriving. To be a bud on a spring branch, to be a tiny bird with still fragile wings, learning to sing in my new nest, to be a caterpillar in the heart of a flower, to be a jewel hiding itself in a stone. I still arrive in order to laugh and to cry, to fear and to hope. The rhythm of my heart is the bird and death, all of it that is alive. I am a mayfly metamorphosing on the surface of the river, and I am the bird that swoops down to swallow the mayfly. I am a frog swimming happily in the clear water of a pond, and I am the grass snake that silently feeds itself on the frog. I am the child in Uganda, all skin and bones, my legs as thin as bamboo sticks, and I am the arms merchant selling deadly weapons to Uganda. I am the 12-year-old girl, refugee on a small boat, who throws herself in the ocean after being raped by a sea pirate. And I am also the pirate, my heart not yet capable of seeing and loving. I am a member of the Politburo with plenty of power in my hands. And I am the man who has to pay for his debt of blood to my people, dying slowly in a forced labor camp. My joy is like spring, so warm it makes flowers bloom all over the earth. My pain is like a river of tears, so vast it fills the four oceans. Please call me by my true names, so I can hear all my cries and laughter at once, so that I can see my joy and pain are one. Please call me by my true names, so I can wake up and the door of my heart could be left open, the door of self-compassion." This poem reminds us that humans have a great capacity for great harm and the potential for profound goodness. This poem invites us to look deeply in the hearts of those who cause suffering and recognize their shared humanity. So that brings me to the next part of this episode, which is, how do we cultivate self-compassion and forgive ourselves? Because self-compassion is the key antidote to healing guilt and shame. One of my favorite meditation teachers, Tara Brach, created this meditation practice called RAIN. And the acronym RAIN stands for Recognize, Allow, Investigate, Nurture. It's a mindfulness practice designed to help people navigate difficult emotions, thoughts, and experiences with compassion and clarity. So I first started doing RAIN when I was going through a season of grief in my life. I had lost someone super close to me, and I was experiencing a lot of feelings of guilt and shame over the ways in which I had acted when that person was present in my life. And this practice has helped me so much. It does help me so much. I constantly have to practice it. I think self-forgiveness is a consistent practice. It's not a one stop and then you're there. So the first step of RAIN is recognize. This involves recognizing and acknowledging the presence of whatever difficult emotion or experience is arising within you. So these could be feelings of anxiety over something you're about to do soon. It could be feelings of sadness over a past experience. It could be anger towards a certain person. Any challenging emotion that is arising in you. The first step is to recognize it. The second step is to allow. Allow yourself to fully experience this emotion without any judgment, without any criticism. And instead of trying to push it away or suppress it, allow it to be in your awareness. One of my favorite ways to allow is to get out some pastels. You could use colored pencils, you could use paint, and sit with this emotion while moving, physically moving through it. So I would do pastel art and try to draw what the emotion was. And I was doing abstract art. It wasn't, you know, a specific thing. It was just the colors of the emotion and how it felt in my body and what it was shaped like. And I would feel so much better after I would do this. I struggled with binge eating when I was younger, and the best way I was able to get myself to allow the impulse to binge, to allow it to be okay, was to do this practice of RAIN and draw out what the feeling of binging felt like in my body. And I would set a timer for 20 minutes and then be like, okay, I'm going to do this for 20 minutes. And then if I still want to binge, then I can binge. And when I went through these feelings of grief, as I mentioned a couple years ago, I would have feelings of wanting to binge come up again because it was a habit in my life for a long time. It was a crutch for when I had feelings of deficiency or emptiness inside of me. And so by allowing myself to fully experience the feelings of inadequacy and the feelings of wanting to binge to cover up the sadness, I actually was able to move through the impulses without engaging with them. The next step in RAIN is investigate. Investigate the emotion with curiosity and compassion. Notice where you feel it in your body, what your thoughts are accompanying it. And then the fourth step is nurture. Nurture yourself with kindness and compassion, which is bringing us into how do we practice self-forgiveness. We nurture ourselves. We offer ourselves the same care and support that we would a dear friend or a child, anyone in our life that we love experiencing distress. We comfort ourselves and offer that same level of love and encouragement that we would to others. I keep thinking of that poem by Thich Nhat Hanh that I read earlier. That poem is a story of recognizing that we are all filled with this dual nature, for lack of a better word, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. You're human. This is part of the human experience. And by doing practices like RAIN, recognizing, allowing, investigating, nurturing, and then saying, okay, forgiven, forgiven, then we can move past those feelings. Then we can heal the collective. Self-forgiveness is the most important practice to not only healing ourselves, but healing the world. The Buddha spoke to his disciples about the nature of suffering and the human experience, and he used an analogy of being struck by two arrows to illustrate this point. He said, when an unenlightened person experiences pain or suffering, whether it be physical illness, emotional trauma, any type of hardship, It's as if they've been struck by this first arrow. The first arrow is unavoidable challenges and difficulties that arise in life. It's when a car hits you on the freeway and it's not your fault. It's an experience that we're subject to. The Buddha continued and said, what happens is, in response to the first arrow, people often unknowingly shoot themselves with a second arrow. This is our reaction to the first arrow. This is our resistance, our aversion, or clinging to that experience rather than accepting it as something inevitable that happened in our life. And he emphasized that while the first arrow, the experience of the pain or suffering, was unavoidable, the second arrow, which is our reaction to that suffering, is optional. By using mindfulness and compassion, we can learn to minimize or eliminate the second arrow. We can learn to eliminate the unnecessary suffering caused by our reaction to life's challenges. Whatever we are holding against ourselves is taking up room inside of our heart. By letting go of self-blame, we create room inside of our heart. When we let go of thoughts and feelings that something is wrong with us, we're creating space in our heart. And Tara says it all starts with the intention of, I want to stop the war within. No matter how addicted I am to these feelings, I want to stop the war. I want to stop pushing myself out of my own heart. And it's a lifelong practice. That is all for today. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode on self-forgiveness. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. The support and the love that I receive from this community is what keeps me going. My book, Talking with My Angels in the Bathtub, Poems and Practices for Healing, is available on Amazon now. Thank you guys so much. Love, your friend, Sion.